back to the Challenge War of the Worlds 2 wrap-up podcast for episode 9. I am Brian Cohn. Here with me, as always, is Allie Lasher. Allie, how are you?
You know what's funny is you say your name as one word also.
Yeah, I don't know. I have something in my head. It just spits out as quickly as possible, and then I emphatically think of something else, and I try to say it slow. So
you're probably a two-name person also. Like, I was actually with Matt Liguori last week, and, like, I was like, oh, this is Missy, Kirsten, and Matt Liguori. Like, just one word.
Hey, it's funny. I don't, like, what two, if you say, like, two syllables first last name, I think they all sound like one word. So I didn't really know where that was going. I feel like that's everyone. But
don't listen to Uncle Kiwi.
He got in my head. This is why I don't listen to his other podcast. I don't want to get all of his thoughts popping in my brain at all times.
Also, Brian, we actually recorded the first, 3 minutes of this podcast already, and we had a tech issue, but yep. I'm convinced now, Brian, that you only re-recorded so you could do a better job at making your joke in the beginning.
It's not true. So,
or you're doing it to embarrass me, because I'm literally sitting here like red-faced hating that I have to do this again. But I did start the original start of this show by bringing some personal news. Anytime we have to talk about something personal, we always like joke no one cares. Also, what's funny, Brian, is like, I have talked about your wedding and so have you, like, so often without making that joke. Is that somehow not personal to you? I don't know, but whatever. That somehow doesn't violate the rule that nobody cares.
I would just assume no one cares. It's like implied, so.
But I do want to thank everyone who bared with me, including Brian and the listeners in July and June. I don't even remember when I stopped doing the podcast. For the bar exam, I did find out today that I passed the bar exam.
Woohoo! Ding, 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 ding.
Brian, it was so much better the last time because you were like genuinely excited. It was very cute.
This is why I'm not an actor. I can't fake things. I just, when I hear it, it's like, all right, oh, that's great. Now it's like the second time. So whenever we redid podcasts, it was like the worst thing ever. But no, this is great. Very exciting.
But I'm not a very like, oh, look at, I mean, I'm a social media person, but, and it's funny, I did say that exact same thing the first time, but that's just my natural reaction to be like, I'm not, wait, I am. But so I'm not posting anywhere, but this feels private enough. These are, you know, just us gals over here who know the podcast. I felt like I had to make some sort of declaration.
No, but that's great. Very, very excited. You didn't lose your password. You figured it all out. That's great.
Yeah. That's actually a myth, How I Met Your Mother. Great episode, especially because it provides a bounty of gifts of like Marshall saying like studying, being a lawyer better be awesome. Like that goes around law school. Like, I don't know. Wildfire.
I feel like there was a password like 8309 or something like that. It ended in 9. I don't remember the numbers leading up to it.
You had a full break to Google this from the last time you made this joke.
I mean, how long have we been doing this for? You think I'm going
to
do that?
I thought it was like 663. Now we have to know what. Now people are going to be like, this is why we don't like when you talk about your personal life. What is Marshall Erickson's password? Do you think that's enough?
Yeah, I think so.
It is 663. I bested you.
Wow. I could have sworn there was a 9. Well, that's why I'm not a lawyer. That's why I'm not a lawyer.
Just kidding. I've not been admitted. A0BCD8663.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
All right. Anyway, in other news, last week Akiva was here, Brian, and I have to hold your feet to the fire here because and it was killing me not to say this to you when you texted me. But I had to save something for a natural reaction on the podcast, unlike the second bar reaction. So for anyone who, God, took the plunge and made it through the 2 hours of Akiva, P.S. Akiva stayed on for another hour, not on the podcast, just to like try to stay up for the sukkah he had to get to. And I was like, I'm not on your time. I have to go.
I'll be on the shit they should have a podcast at the end of the season.
Believe me, no one cares. Akiva said, and Kiva and I had a discussion that was like, if it's a 150 person wedding, let's say hypothetically in the world, and you are number 149. And I was like, I don't have to get into this hypothetical. Like, this is me at Brian's wedding. And he was like, yeah, you feel like you don't want to ruin the bride and groom's day by like saying hi to them. So Kiva says that he hides for like 3 hours and like dodges the bride and groom. And I naively said, No, I think in an American wedding, people know you don't have to be invited. So like if you invite someone, you're at least okay if they're there. And that was the end of the conversation, more or less. And I get an unsolicited text from one future groom, Brian Cohen, that says, Guess what? I agree with Akiva. I don't have to go to your flipping wedding.
No. See, what I agree with him on.
I'm happy to stay in my apartment, drink rosé, and toast you from a distance.
What I said that I agree with him on is I don't want to do anything to make the to ruin their day when I go to a wedding.
Just
so like
being just being there and saying hello, I think you're more likely to ruin their. Are you not more likely to have your day ruined if somebody that you know well enough to invite to your wedding is giving you the cold shoulder? Is that not like, hey, wife or husband, is Akiva mad at me on my wedding day?
No, you have to say hi because like you're a human being in the world.
Akiva says he does not even say hello. I'm going to fight this because I was so offended when I got this text. I was just like,
no, so you have to say hi, but it is a little nerve wracking because like you're like the bride's in the dress. You're probably going up there with a drink. You may already be drunk. You don't want to do anything stupid. You don't want to trip. You don't want
to
fall.
Will already be drunk to be 100% right. Clear.
So like you absolutely have to want to say hi, but you're also nervous. It's not a normal high. Like, do you hug? Do you want
to
like smudge
your friends? They just got married. Yes, you run up to them. Yeah. And you're like, oh my god.
No, but I mean, I understand. Like, there's more pressure in that situation not to do anything stupid. Okay. And if you're someone who could do something stupid, like I sometimes do, you don't want to risk it.
Okay, two.
But
things.
You have to go say hi.
Two things on this. One or three things. One, like it just cannot be overstated how hilarious it was. That Akiva was basically like, you shouldn't say hi to Brian at his wedding, and Brian texts you, I agree.
That's what I agreed with.
Two, I already forgot all my things, but that's why I don't number myself.
But
usually.
I can say definitively, you're not like 140, whatever, so we're 175, so you're not like 174. I can say that definitively. Like, you were part of the A-list brigade.
Well, I got a tweet from Plainview Suit that was like, it's going to be the highlight of the wedding. I love a woman who doesn't exaggerate.
No, she told me, she's like, what table is she at? I want to make sure I go see her. It's like, I'm like, oh boy.
Oh, now there's pressure. I'm meeting people at this wedding.
Yeah.
Look,
yeah.
I can only enhance the situation. So, like I said, nobody got back to me, but I feel like you and Akiva are so similar on podcasts, and that's the closest I'll ever get to complimenting you. Maybe that's your wedding gift right there, because I have famously said that Akiva is my favorite podcaster.
There you go. So I'm like co-favorite. Can't take it back now.
Well,
I can't take it back. You said it.
No, I'm not taking it back. That's what I had to rest on when you offended me so deeply. I was like, well, you and Akiva are the same. I did say
oh,
it.
Boy. Oh boy.
All right, should we talk about this episode? I'm pretty
down.
I'm
not imitating your walk. Come on, I'm not doing that.
Your what?
I'm not imitating your walk.
Oh wait, this is what I wanted to ask you. Are you nervous, Brian? And where this is safe space. I share, do you know you could share. Uh-huh. By your like logic, are you nervous to ruin your future wife's wedding? Like are you nervous 1,000%. To talk to her?
No, well, I'm nervous. Like, I don't want to like rip her dress or something like that. Like, do something stupid. So there is that nerve.
Well, you're How I Met Your Mother fan, so just shave half your head if you accidentally.
Oh, I made that joke before. It didn't go over too well.
All right. Well, I'll be sure to be on my best behavior. Okay. Should we talk about this? I don't know. Overall, like, are you on my side yet that this episode was too long? I could shave a good 30 minutes off of
this
episode. This
one definitely was too long, especially because as we were discussing, as you were watching, in the last 15 minutes were just the first 15 minutes of next week, and they just decide to put it here. So this one was definitely one of those that could have been like an hour 5 and then be perfect. But actually, I thought this was one of the more just like light up until like Turbo wanted to like kill Jordan and cut up his body and put it in the river. I thought it was the more lighthearted, funny episodes that they've done in a while. I thought it was just like comedy hour all over the place.
What was funny? Besides Dr. CT, I'm like scrolling through my notes. I don't see a single emoji.
I just thought CT is like his like, well, the Dr. CT was great. The commentary was throughout the challenge. I thought it was funny. Even Zach was funny when it was like, you know, TJ thinks we're so stupid that they just had to put three puzzles, like three pieces they had to give it to us. The whole Idris being Ted Bundy, I thought was funny. I don't know. I got chuckles. I was laughing.
All right. You be our studio audience. You let me know and I'm supposed to, the applause sign or whatever. Let me know. Okay. I'm supposed to laugh.
I'll put up the red light.
I was pretty frustrated with Theo's speech here in the beginning because Akiva and I talked about this a lot last week. Like, the UK team needs to give up being like, we trimmed fat. Like, you didn't trim fat. You've lost. You've been decimated.
Right.
That's like, you know, people on Survivor being like, oh, I'm just like on a casual diet. Like, you're starving. But Theo and Georgia here, I think, played this wrong. I think I get what they were trying to do. They're trying to drum up momentum, but it was just so transparent because like it's totally self-interested. They're like, you guys have to be like, give up your own self-interest for the team. And Theo and Georgia are basically would be doing the same thing if it benefited them.
Yeah, that's the type of pitch that you can't make to everyone because obviously there's going to be some people that disagree and it's not going to go over well. That's something you have to just like pick one or two of like the key decision makers and go to them and be like, look, we can't keep losing. We have to start doing this on performance. We have to cut people that we feel like can't do it in the final. We have like going in that as a group, that just, it's never going to work. Cause then obviously you're saying that we shouldn't go in, but other people in this room should, and they're obviously not going to agree with that. So there's no way like that's going to build the team morale. You have to do it individually and just pick out Rogan, pick out Josh and go like that.
Exactly. And it's not exactly like rocket science of who's going to go for this. Like Josh and Rogan, who feel pretty like secure in the numbers on the UK team and in their athletic ability. They don't think it's going to be them. They're for it. Kaylee, Idris, people who might be the quote unquote fat that needs trimming, like they're against it. Makes sense.
Yeah. Speaking of Kaylee, she's had a remarkably quiet season. Even last week when they were like listing off the potential women to be voted in, like she was like never brought up. She's like the CT of this group. I don't know how she's never discussed, never mentioned in any form. I guess people like her, but it's been very surprising, Kaylee's season.
I'm fine with that. Like, I actually don't even really understand why she's back after like the Natalie thing. Like, I don't think she's like ever brought like joy to my screen, or at least in recent memories. And I don't know why that's not like disqualifying like the outing situation, especially with like Natalie not really being back. Like, I don't understand what Kaylee's offering. Like, it's not even like the calculus like with Bananas or other people that MTV makes where like, okay, yeah, like they do like vile crap, but like look at the entertainment value or whatever that they rationalize. Like, what is Kaylee's entertainment value?
Yeah, it's not much. That's why it's just a very surprising season from her. She's quiet and, you know, not making any waves. It's odd.
Speaking of entertainment value, Jonathan Foreman just hit me with a very important Facebook message. Paulie shaved his chest this episode. No context, wow. Just that's from Jonathan. So thank you, Jonathan, the hard-hitting journalism.
That's, you know, we couldn't do this podcast without him.
I thought he was like our historical fact checker, but I guess this is a historical fact in previous years, yeah. I guess.
I mean, technically it was in the past already, so that is historical.
There you go. All right, I'm lost without, I didn't do the questions this week, so like I usually have the questions as my little mile markers. I'm just like, I don't know, Brian, help me out. Steer the ship here.
Paulie wants to bring the couples together. Paulie and Kara, Jordan and Tori, well, he wants them to come together, be the peacemaker of the power foursome.
Yeah, over wrestling.
Great team
so
bonding.
Weird. I just like, I don't. Tori and Jordan are made for each other. I know people want to cast out this season on their relationship as like a storyline, but like the fact that Tori's like scrapping with Kara for fun is such a Jordan move. Yeah,
very much so. They're perfect together. I still am waiting like for them. I feel like that's almost a spoiler that they get engaged on the season because I'm waiting for that to happen. So one of them can maybe go home. Unless they get engaged at the final. I don't know.
I mean, I think that's actually really fair, but I don't even see a way that Jordan and Tori end up like the biggest thing right now is that Jordan might send himself in like against Turbo or to talk to go on the other side. So like if Tori was in an elimination, I would be pissed because then it's like, OK, the winner's spoiled. But like I haven't felt like they were in close to danger where I've even thought about that. But that's a good point.
Yeah. Cam and Jordan, Cam and Leroy.
Wait, really quick, I have a couple questions about this car stuff from me. Listener Ali Lasher writes, what do you think of Kara's theory that Jordan is threatened by strong, confident players?
I think Jordan's, I feel like Jordan's the, anyone, no matter who it is that Jordan is going up against, he acts the same. So I don't know if it's necessarily confident or guy girl or anything. I think it's just Jordan is Jordan, and he's going to rub a lot of people the wrong way just because he is that level of overconfident, self braggadocious type.
Yeah, I really don't think Jordan is ever like threatened. And this, like, the comedy hour for me really was like everything that Kara says this episode. Cause like the fact that she's like, Jordan's threatened by me, I'm a strong, confident player. Like, Jordan's girlfriend is one of the strongest, most confident women to show up in recent challenge history. Right. So like, try again. Like like, I feel like Kara is just like really missing the mark on every claim she makes this episode. And that was the first. But what frustrated me is like reason number 5,363 that Paulie and Kara would be better on the show without each other. And like, I'm leaning to like Paulie here, and maybe it's the edit. Like, he's like the one recognizing like, okay, Jordan's an ally. We should have, okay, Kara and Jordan like can't get over their beef. And now he does have the advantage that like he hasn't been on the seasons as long. Kara has like decades of history with these people. So maybe in 10 years, oh God, but in like 10 years or 10 seasons, Paulie also won't be able to work with certain people. But we've seen the same thing with Kyle, where it seems like Paulie and Kyle get along without Kara. And now it's like Jordan and Paulie's relationship is stifled because of Kara and Jordan. But I just would love to see them as individuals. I hate this like new fake power couple that Kara is painting.
Yeah, no, 100%. I think we've been on that beat for a while, wanting to see Paulie without Kara. Train for a little while, so I don't know. It doesn't seem like writing in next season, but hopefully in the near future.
The other the second like wild claim Kara makes here is like that Tori and Jordan are trying jealous of Paulie and Kara, trying to knock them off their perch as the it couple, the power couple, and that Jordan and Tori need a comeback season. Is any of this remotely close to like a shred of truth?
So I can, if I squint, I can see a scenario where Jordan and Tori can feel like they would want to be like the top power couple, but I just don't see that motivating them in any way, shape, or form. But I can see it sort of a little bit, maybe.
Well, that's a generous read of the situation because, like, yeah, I think Jordan and Tori like would probably not have come on the show apart at this point. They are competing as a team, like Tori says, like, uses it with Jordan like last week or 2 weeks ago, whatever, like with the turbo fight and saying that we're your stuff impacts me. And she says this week, like, we treat this like we're athletes. But I just mean, like, since when did Kara and Paulie become the it couple? Like, they're like the gross couple, like making out at the lunch table in high school. And you're like, oh, like, I wish I had never had to see them again. And yeah. In Kara's mind, like, she really is like the it thing.
I guess so. But like in her defense, like if you said challenge couple, like who else are you saying currently other than them?
But it's not like they're the power couple. If you were to say who's a couple from the challenge, sure. But like, I think power couple has like a positive connotation. Like, ooh, we're a power couple. We're boss. Like, right. Everyone likes us. And so, yeah, I guess in the sense that they do have power and they are a couple. But a power couple, they are not.
Correct. That I agree with.
And since when do Tori and Jordan need a comeback season?
Yeah, I mean, they certainly don't. But maybe I could see the sense of like them wanting to like overtake them. But I think they just want to win. Like, I don't think it's necessarily to beat Paulie and Kara to be the top couple. But like, I mean, maybe that's like 1% it. But I think they're just competitors and they want to win whoever it is they're going up against.
All right, now we could talk about Cam and Leroy. This is a power couple.
Yeah, I just want Leroy to be happy. That's what I'm rooting for.
Well, that's on Leroy.
I know. I know, but he's just so like naive and calm. He's like in the tribune, well, no, let's take it back to the team and we'll discuss and we'll do what's best for the team. I don't know. I just want Leroy to win.
All right.
I really do.
Brian, step into my office. Okay. Peter. I love Leroy. I love him. But this is why when women date men, and I don't mean to like make it gendered or heteronormative, but like, so I'll just, in my own experience, I tend to date a very like nice guy, quote unquote, nice guy like Leroy. And what sucks about that is that when you are Cam and you say, he said this stuff to me, like he ruined it. You're like, oh, but it's Leroy. He's so nice.
Yeah, but it's Leroy.
I just want him to be happy. Like, no, I am full team Cam. Like, if Cam is feeling a certain way about what Leroy did, I buy it 100%.
Yeah. Dr. CT sussed it out. I think he put them on the right page.
But even Dr. CT's diagnosis was still a Leroy thing. Because, like, he says to... Both of his things were just that Leroy put up walls in different words. So CT says, and I thought this was spot on. CT, without knowing the couple or CT, I thought this was spot on. He says to Cam, you wanted more than Leroy was willing to give, even though that's what Leroy wanted. Which just means that Leroy had walls up. And then he said, and Leroy, right, you had walls up. So the decision has been made here.
It's been decided.
But I want Leroy to be happy, too. I'm not a villain in the story, but, you know, so did Cam at one point.
That's true.
I'm really on one right now. I got to relax.
Yeah, well, he was on one. She did a couple laps after some burpees and was in very rough shape.
All right. Let's not over. Everyone was like a couple laps around the pool. Like, my God, if I had to run a lap around my studio apartment right now, I would have heat stroke, too.
No, of course. I mean, poor D. It was just like, I mean, how did you feel Rogan was as a consoler? He comes over as like, D's like, she's making weird noises. She's got vomit all over her. I'm getting a little concerned. She didn't say much. I feel like that was not great boyfriend consoling mode from Rogan.
Took the words out of my mouth. Not great. Am I surprised? No. Do I think D like needed more from him? Also, no, because she seemed like very concerned. One of my favorite moments in this was like, Ninja is like, oh, no one's around. I'm like, girl, you're on national television, like the entire nation's around. But right. So she didn't seem like she really wanted Rogan like pouring over her. But I also sympathize, like that was terrifying. Like I wouldn't know what to do.
Yeah, I mean, I got Nani there, and then the producer's car's coming over, and then you got the ambulance there. It was scary. It was. I mean, we've seen the scary stuff like this on the channel, so this is not, you know, we normally don't see it like in the house. Usually it's like, you know, during elimination or something like that. So this was kind of rare, but scary.
I did love that they brought in Ninja, because I was like, yes, girl power. I think I mentioned it last week or whenever they got in a fight, who knows, that like, I just love this like portrayal of female friendship on the show. It's not like a Laurel and Kara thing, at least right now. Not right now.
Right, not right now. Wait till Juan moves to Montana.
But now that, or wait till Nicole enters the scene.
Oh, boy.
Now that D is okay, because I was legit scared when I was watching this, but I can now properly enjoy how funny it was when Nani describes the situation to Rogan. Like, did you catch this?
Yeah, she wasn't very descriptive of like the direness. I felt like she was a little too casual.
She just like kind of like feels sick, and I don't know. I think there people are like saying she's heat stroke, but like she just kind of like feels sick right now. Like the girl is doubled over, covered in vomit, being like, like it was like she's like kind of feels like a little yucky. Like I was like, what the hell?
How about Jenny? Like just straight. I mean, straight cold blooded. Like, ugh, this is a weakness. She's gotta go.
Yeah, I mean, D did like literally play herself in this situation, because basically she just like didn't drink water and then worked out to Tori's level. But yeah, what do you think? Do you think this is a foreshadowing to like next week girls elimination that they put in D?
I mean, assuming, because this is all I do, assuming UK loses, I definitely think this will come up, especially because there's only four girls left, I think. And I mean, if Kaylee's just never discussed, then I can see this coming back to bite her.
Yeah, it's slim pickings, but you definitely can't think that Kaylee is not worse, or like at least
I wouldn't
equal.
Think so. I wouldn't think so.
But yeah, I mean, Georgia keeps reminding us that she's a runner. So at least like it's like if you say it's like Michael Scott, if you say manager enough times, like maybe you'll become the manager. Like if Georgia keeps telling us she's a runner, maybe she'll win a final. Like
declaring bankruptcy, all that stuff.
And I was also thinking, like, good thing this didn't happen to Kara, because if an IV was the answer, you know, she's not doing that.
Can't be having that. No, no, no.
Like that.
Great callback.
We need a bell.
We do.
Where's my wine glasses to do my cheers? That was my go-to sound effect.
Did I make it in?
Yeah, it sounded like two mugs. Was it a mug?
I clanged a water cup.
Oh, okay. Not a water jug from your basement from 1997?
No, not one of those.
That's still when we go back to do the greatest hits at our 10-year anniversary podcasting, that's going to be number one.
Yeah. Every once in a while, like, I go on Time Hop and I see like my old Twitter and stuff like that. And I see like all the old, like, Are You the One mentions. I think that was like, that's the real like drunk aunt. I feel like the Challenge podcast is a little more serious. I feel like,
Did you listen to last week's episode?
I know. But even that, like, the old Are You the One stuff got like way off the rails. So like maybe that's like the drunk aunt's like angsty teen daughter or something like that.
What's amazing is that you are taking this podcast completely off the rails to talk about how not off the rails the Challenge is.
It's very meta.
But no, I feel like the drunk aunt has really evolved over time. But what it really was supposed to be was like in the context of all the other RHAP shows that like Rob has to invite you, but like is not happy to see
right,
you.
And it's right,
like
right, right.
A loud one. And it's like, oh, God, I wish you weren't there.
Well, yeah, that's true. You did make your appearance on the Know-It-Alls in the live show. I got a couple of shout outs. That's a classic drunk aunt move to do. You calling stuff out, getting called out.
I wasn't calling out. Okay, Bryce is, let's settle this. If Bryce is on stage and he's like making like zaddy pics or whatever, doing Bryce's shtick, the whole audience should erupt. Like, I was like, yes, Bryce. Like, I was not standing. I feel like it makes it seem like I was standing up. So one of my coworkers was like, did you get up? I was like, I did not get up.
That's what I was picturing when I was listening to the audio back. Like, is you standing on the table calling it out right now? That's what I was picturing.
I got up during the Big Brother podcast when my name was mentioned. I know when to rise. But basically, this is good. I want to settle this. Matt Liguori saved seats. When I was left to my own devices, I was in the back of the Big Brother podcast. Matt Liguori saved seats. I'm front, smack, and center. That would not have been my choice to just be spotlight Ali Lasher's face that nobody's like trying to see when they're on stage. But I was there, baby. So I was like, all right, whatever. And then Bryce is like one of my faves. So I just got caught up in the moment and I was like clapping. And I did not ask for Rob to be like, is that Ali? It was funny, but it was embarrassing. And I was not standing up. Granted, I haven't gone back to the audio, but I was just like, woo, yeah. Because it's a live show. I was just cheering. And then Missy was with me, for anyone who listens to Rob and Akiva. So Missy filled in for my friend who canceled last minute. And Bryce started giving away Zaddy calendars. And I was pretty self-conscious because Missy like doesn't know anything about Know-It-Alls or anything. And I don't know. I didn't want her to have a bad time. So I was like very concerned with whether or not Missy was having a good time at this. So Bryce like mentions that they have Zaddy calendars to give away. And me and the whole table start pointing at Missy. And Missy's pointing at me, but it's just a lot of commotion comes up. But it was me trying to get one for Missy, which I ultimately gave it to her. And I think Rob, because I was right in the front and I had already outed myself as applauding for Bryce, was like, all right, we'll give one to you. So this was like, again, a very innocent amount of participation, but it is very on brand for me to like make a 200 person event about me, or tried to. I was not successful, and I wasn't even trying, honestly.
As Theo would say, it's very fun to get Ali wound it up. So this is very entertaining.
Who would say that?
Theo.
Oh, I thought you said Steven.
No.
Are you sure you didn't say Steven?
You know what? I don't know. Maybe I did.
I'm not going to have to listen to this freaking episode. All right. Let's get back to the show. I'll be sure not to call you Steven or Theo at your wedding, so I hope to not ruin your day.
Thank goodness.
All right. Let's talk about this challenge, because
Under Siege,
I thought this was just asking for injury. I'm shocked people didn't come out with broken limbs here.
Yeah, I mean, there were a couple of hard collisions, and I didn't realize what the purpose of the medicine balls were, but I guess they said it was like just to save their lives, because I guess that's really what it was all there for. It was just to stop people from going flying when the thing went up in the air.
Ironically, it almost got Joss killed by Turbo. The ball really didn't help much. Also, do you call them medicine balls?
I think that's what they were, right?
No, a medicine ball is like a weighted, it's like the 10-pound balls that you like, you know, oh, people then what was that work, one? Out, work out with. They called them yoga balls, but I don't know. I had one in my basement as a kid to just like bounce around on.
Yeah, no, that's probably what I meant. So maybe I did call you Steven. I don't know what's happening anymore.
All right. Since we're such a serious podcast, we'll try to truck on. Did you like this challenge?
It was different, so I liked it for that factor. It's tough to follow like a puzzle like that because I had no idea how anyone was doing, because I didn't even understand the picture that they were supposed to follow to begin with, so I don't know how they did. So, and it was different. Wasn't the greatest. It sucks that Team USA just wins every freaking time. Like, I was rooting for UK just to like mix it up a little bit here.
It's a clear challenge fail when they have to give three puzzles. When you couldn't follow it, they couldn't follow it. Like, this challenge failed. I don't know who they tested this challenge with. But here's what I liked about it. I'll try to be some positive here. I liked that the women couldn't see. I think that made it really interesting, because that was a very cool scene when they all were like weathered and they came out. Like, I really liked that.
That was cool. I agree.
And I also liked the two heats, which I don't usually like, because I needed a second look at this challenge. Like, I feel like I needed to watch it twice because I was confused. Here's what I didn't like. The puzzle pieces, exactly what you were saying, like, they go so many different ways, and like the reference is so ridiculous that like I had no idea who was winning. Like, I thought the UK men's team finished their puzzle, but because
I thought on the first heat, I thought they got it like maybe like right after the buzzer or like right at the buzzer, but I thought they had it.
And I also didn't like Turbo's rage. I feel like we have to talk about this, because it seems like Turbo's narrative last season was like the lovable hero who doesn't really know what's going on but is a beast. Turbo's narrative this season is just like the psycho rage monster.
Yeah, it's like waiting for him to snap and like genuinely hurt someone, and it's like, and then based off how he tweets, it doesn't seem like that's going away. So this is, it's building up to something not good.
I don't understand. Like, Turbo is supposed to be so invested in competition and competing, and like a ball hits him in the face and he's threatening to fight Joss in the middle of the challenge.
Yeah, I don't know. I was thinking it was all just against Jordan, but now he's like going off at anyone and anything that's like pissing him off. I don't know what his, like, I mean, he won last season. It's not like he's coming in with like enemies going into this season. Unless Jordan has just really just gotten so far under his skin, he just can't handle it. He's like, his machine is broken.
Yeah, I can't currently stand Turbo. I don't agree with what he's doing here. And I'm worried. I'm worried for what's going to happen. Like, I'm starting to think it's like unsafe. Like, every 10 seconds, like, he's in another like knockdown drag out.
Yeah, no, totally agree. As Jessica Sterling says, how crazy does Turbo have to be to scare CT?
That was so funny when he's like, you can't say anything to him. Like, Josh has a death wish. I'm like, or Josh has a death wish. I'm like, trust CT, because he knows what that's like.
Yeah.
And the other thing I didn't like about this challenge is like the sudden death three puzzle. Like, this challenge was got boring at the end. I think it had high potential to be good, and it just like totally failed.
Yep. I agree.
Aaron Zanny says, you think I don't have questions? He tweeted at us, please talk about how they want the U.S. team to win these challenges after sticking the U.K. with the disadvantage of running up the crate first in sudden death.
I thought about that, but I mean, they definitely are not rooting for U.S. I feel like they would want the U.S. to lose one of these. I mean, they're very close to being like preposterously unbalanced teams. So I feel like they would want the U.S. to lose eventually.
I don't understand. I agree. I don't understand why they would want, like, who are they protecting? Like, I don't think there's, maybe the argument is they're worried that even one of the men goes on the U.S. side, that they'll lose a huge chunk of the narrative. But like, the whole episode is in the U.S. losing even once, like the tribunal, the deliberation, the manipulation of the U.K. tribunal, like, that's the most exciting episode of all. So I think it's worth, if you lost Paul, and then the elimination, like if they put in Jordan and Paulie against each other, or Turbo and Jordan or whatever, like, I'm so here for that, to watch that. So like, I guess it would be Josh and maybe Leroy. Like, I'm trying to think of who it would actually be. Jordan and Josh, probably, if like the UK were using their majority.
Yeah, probably. Well, Janelle Jisn, yeah, I guess so. But I mean, I think you can lose anyone from Team US, and there's so many intricate storylines between that whole team because they've just had this whole season to build up hatred and animosity that you can lose anyone, and it's going to continue for the rest of the season. So
no, that's right. I agree. I'm saying, like, who even the most realistic person they would lose is, like, not even that essential.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess Josh would probably be the most likely to go in, and then they would probably vote in Turbo or Jordan or someone like that. Yeah.
But to give Josh a little credit here, like, Josh is nominated speaker. He picks Ninja and Leroy, which I think are very interesting picks. And, like, I'm crapping on Josh a lot, but he has come a long way from his first season to, like, integrating himself as, like, someone that at least some people trust enough to put him, especially after the stunt he pulled the last time he was speaker. He's, like, done a lot of work here.
Yeah, I would say not even from the first season. I would say from, what was that, episode 2, episode 3, whenever him and Laurel did that. So, like, I thought he was done. And honestly, he may have been if they ever lost. Like, if they lost one of the next few, he probably would have gone in. And honestly, like we said, he may still be the next one to go in. But, I mean, he's definitely rebuilt trust that, like you said, let him be in this role again.
What do you think of his Ninja and Leroy picks?
I think they're fine. That's the one part. Like, again, like, we have like this hour and a half. Like, there's only a set number of decisions that are made. I would love to know what goes into each of these picks. Like, who's deciding it? Is the speaker? Is it also a group decision? I would love to know that going in.
Yeah, I think Akiva and I talked about this a little last week, but like, they need to decide. Like, some weeks it's like, okay, these people are the tribunal. And then some weeks, like, I think Leroy seemed to have like a surprised face on this week. Like, are they acting surprised? Did they not know? Like, I would really like, I agree with you, to see like some piece of what happened.
Yeah, totally.
We get a little Cam and Leroy makeout sesh. You ship? Ship or not ship? Is ship or sink? Like, what, you ship or you don't ship?
If Leroy is shipping, I'm shipping. If he's sinking, I'm sinking.
All right. Didn't I like explain to you how this is wrong?
Yeah, I'm sure I'm wrong. I'm going out with it.
I ship this 100%. I love Cam and Leroy. I agree with CT. Like, they don't make sense, but they're in love. I love it.
There you go. Love, love.
Also, like, one couple that doesn't make me want to like throw up when I see them.
Barry, that's a great twist.
sorry, just laughing again. Throw up made me think of D, which made me think of Nani being like, she feels a little sick.
See, it's a funny episode.
That was gold. I love it. No, see, I'm getting the applause sign or the laugh sign. I'm getting it. CT again Idris, comes in. Oh, go ahead.
I was gonna say, Idris got a quick sign that no one wants him there.
Well, I want to talk about CT because I talked about this with Akiva, but like, how has CT put himself in this role where he comes in? It's like the teacher walks in the room and it's like, I want to hear what you guys think. Like, he's just totally, and then he's calling on people.
Yeah, it's, I would love to have CT like discuss after the season, like how he did this. Maybe it's just very smart to be like the first person that, like, if you start talking and you just open it up as a forum, I feel like it's a great opening method because no one's going to like then throw it at you. Like, I don't know. CT's just done a masterful job of being, I mean, so many of these are puzzles and he's like the puzzle guy and they lose everything. So he's clearly not done well in challenges. He's clearly not someone you would look toward in a final to win. And he is never discussed, just like he's not even on the team. So it's brilliant by him.
Well, that's what I want to know is like, I would like to hear from someone, and maybe people have done interviews on Challenge Mania or whatever, so if someone could let me know. I would really like to hear how the UK team viewed CT. Was he off the table because of his maneuvering? Because I feel like we've seen people come and speak first and get voted in. I agree with you, though. If you like control the narrative, that's your best option. But like, I don't even think he's had an active target on his back where somebody would come in to want to vote for him and then feel like they can't. But I would like to know, like, is it like they didn't want to piss off the US? Was he an asset? Like, what is the situation here?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a great question. Maybe they thought he would leave, but like, is that like the worst thing? Because it's not like he's been that good. I don't know. I would love to hear what someone else has to say.
CT also, and maybe I misunderstood, when he ends up voting for Idris and Idris is upset, CT says, well, it was either you or me. Where was that conversation?
I don't know. And this is not the first time that's, like, I feel like either like 2 weeks ago, there's the same type of conversation where he's like, I think he almost said it with Kyle or someone. He was like, you know, I when all these like pairs start turning on each other, I might be the one that's forced out. Like, no, but no, like he's the only one coming up with narratives to get him out. No one else is.
But I do have to say here, I feel extremely validated here when they put in Idris almost unanimously. Because last week I got a lot of tweets I didn't care about. No, I'm just kidding. Thank you for engaging with the podcast. No, but I got a ton of tweets like, you're an idiot. Tori said they would have the numbers if they swapped. And it's like, yeah, okay, they would have the numbers right now. But like, look what happens on the UK team. Like I said, I thought they were getting to the point where they were going to value strength more than they were going to value the US alliances. And Idris gets voted in, not Theo. Once again, the U.S. votes Theo in. Now, maybe that's the reason he should have switched. Not because the U.K. people are like, the U.K. are going to put him in over and over. Maybe he needed to switch because the U.S. is going to put him in over and over if he doesn't swap. That I'm persuaded by. But I also, in getting tweeted at incessantly, have another reason why I think they don't switch generally. But you didn't get a chance to talk about this. What was your perspective on this last week?
Yeah, I think at this point, like, maybe it's just stubbornness. Like, you have your country and you just don't have your friends and your team. And you just don't want to leave. Because if they're not going to switch there, then no one, like, I don't know why anyone would switch other than like a Jordan move. But other than that, like, it's everyone's just going to stay.
So I think there are two reasons that I wasn't thinking of last week. One, and like, I think switching, to be clear, I don't think switching would be like the wrong move, but here's where I think it's like fine to stay. One, because if you are going to go in, Theo would rather go against the UK opponents than the US opponents. Like if he flops and somehow ends up in an elimination, I know it's rare, like if the US mm-hmm. loses against Jordan or Turbo, or I guess Josh would maybe be fine. Like, but there are stronger male threats than I think he would be afraid to go against Idris totally. Or Joss or Rogan or CT. The other reason I do think that George and Theo get more airtime on their current team, and I don't know how much they're thinking about that, but they're basically the main strength and the main opposition on their team. If they flip to the US, like, yes, they're in the numbers of the voting majority, but Jordan and Tori are controlling that airtime with Kara and Polly as the opposition. Whereas here, like, Theo and George are getting like way more airtime. So I don't know all how much that has to do with it, but I think like that matters in a time where you want to keep getting invited back.
Yeah, I think all are fair reasons. I think all play a part and it all kind of just makes sense why they would stay.
Okay. Well, we talked about the Ted Bundy thing. That was funny. I think it was almost funnier that Idris is like, CT reminds me of a father who left me. Like, yeah. When did they get that close? Also, he's definitely not old enough to be your father, is he? I guess he's like 20 years older, maybe. Almost.
Maybe. Are you surprised that with all the UK deliberations, no one has ever said, why don't you vote someone in so if you guys win, you have less people to share the money with? Like there's never... And they're not turning it on, at least, or if they are, they're just not showing it, to vote in their own, even just to toss it out.
You know that I'm very afraid that they know the format and that the format is not in teams. Because right. Again, I don't think it makes any sense how the US behaved in the beginning. And I also don't think it makes any sense how the UK has mostly behaved loyal to the US. And I agree. Like, that should be a strategy. It makes no sense.
Yep. There you go.
Someone did, maybe it's a group chat I'm in, so I'm stealing someone else's idea. I'll just be clear. It's not my idea. I don't remember where it came from. But, like, maybe the final would end. And someone can tweet me, and I'll thank them next week for saying this. I don't remember who it was. I'm sorry. That maybe the final will be, it'll be, like, a challenge where it's either the U.S. team or the U.K. team runs the final. But I still don't think that makes any sense. Like the winner of a battle between the US and the UK as teams then breaks into an individual challenge. What would be make no sense about that is why it was so important for them to have like the inter-team alliances. I mean, I guess because they have voting control, but the whole gameplay of the season, I feel like will hopefully make sense by the end, but makes no sense to me now.
Another hint that maybe they know when the end game is coming. Maybe this is just a throwaway line, but there was when they were in the pool, Rogan and and CT. This is at the end of the episode, but just jumping out quickly. And they were like, oh, maybe Turbo and Jordan will want to go into the next elimination. And then Rogan was like, oh, I guess we made the final. Did you catch that?
Oh, I did not catch that.
So I don't know if they think there's only like one more guy's elimination coming. That doesn't seem possible. I mean, unless it's like a shorter season than maybe we're normal. But I don't know. That was maybe it was just a throwaway line, but I caught it. So I don't know. We'll see.
That would be truly wild because that would be, this is episode 9, we think. So then it'd be 10, 11 would be the next guys. 12, okay, if there's another girls. 12 episodes till the final total.
Yeah.
That I mean, it seems short. There's a lot of people left.
Yeah, it does. But I don't know. That was just an odd, like, oh, I guess we'll be in the final line. I don't know. So
good catch. Interesting. We will find out. All right. The only thing I liked about this next thing at the pool with Polly and Theo is Theo poolside heckling Polly with a glass of white wine.
Yeah, just hysterical. I mean, that's his go-to, right? That's what he's been called out for, drinking his Pinot Grigio, or I don't know what it was this time, but that's his go-to, is the white wine.
Looked like more of a shard to me, if I'm being honest. It wasn't green, which was interesting.
Yeah, now no more green, so take that off the drinking game going forward.
The other thing that's like very important to me to mention right now is, oh my God, did you see Ninja's abs?
I didn't, but I can assume.
Oh my God, you can assume. Whatever you think it is, double it.
Okay,
I have nothing to say about this fight. I think Theo is in it for fun and he's bored, and so am I, and Polly takes things like so freaking far that it's like scary.
Yeah, but even this was the Ashley commentary was funny. I don't know, I got chuckles. I was laughing.
I'm glad you got chuckled. I think I was just like so freaked out by Polly being like, I'll F your girl too, like too soon, bro.
That was wild, right? The car was like, what?
Well, they've always been in an open relationship, Brian. Didn't you watch their like 8 hours of content?
The social experiment. I'm sorry.
Ugh. What do you think of Jordan's plan that will definitely never happen of get voted in to be a turncoat, an old Aussie move?
Yeah, so you say never happen, but of all people to potentially do something like this, I would say Jordan is the one that would potentially do something like this.
Oh, he definitely would. This is akin to him flipping all of the kill cards, right? But like, what I wasn't even clear is at first he was like, we want to get two people from, I forget even which people he was saying he wants to put in the US elimination. That would be ideal. Was it Turbo and Polly or Kara?
I think he said at first, like, oh, let's get like Kara and Ninja to go up against each other. But if we can't
So Kara and Ninja. But I thought he was saying, and the only way to do that is to like turncoat and be on the other team. But then he was like, and then I'll just like go all the way. So I originally thought it was a true Aussie idea where he was going to turncoat twice. But I mean, they're all bored. Like so much of this is them being bored. Like that's why like Ashley, like later the fight with Jordan and Turbo, it's just like, I think the U.S. team is just like has nothing to do because they just keep winning, that it doesn't matter. Yeah. So they're just like making shit up to fight about.
Mm-hmm. And just another bizarre thing that was tossed in there for like a quick scene and then never came back. Like even like at the, I thought maybe at the vote, there would be like a scene of Jordan being like, should I go in? I don't know. Like even just a cutaway of a confessional, it was just nothing.
Which maybe is like, maybe it will materialize into something else, but we'll see. I mean, that would be cool. I'd be here for it. I don't mean to be down on it. I just think it's very unlikely. I also think it's the kind of thing where if Jordan wants to do this, you know, a single Jordan flips all the kill cards. Jordan with Tori, I think Tori could very understandably be like, Jordan, that's insane. Like, you're not going to flip right and be on the other team as me.
Yeah. As Jordan points out, astutely, going into eliminations is very wrong. Don't do it.
Although you do double your chances at the money if you Jordan and Tori end up on different teams.
That is true.
It's like, would you double a share or guaranteed half a share?
Yeah, exactly.
One share.
Right. Two shares or one.
Right.
Or zero.
So I like that. I'm jumping ahead already. Go ahead.
No, I got nothing. I just said, yeah.
I got nothing is the slogan of this podcast. We could have such incredible merch if we cared.
Oh, man, the t-shirts.
Okay, let's talk about this U.S. deliberation.
Do you think the Guise trademark is still active, or can we sell shirts like that?
I don't know that they have a trademark. Should we do a trademark search?
I mean, at a company like that, I can't believe they didn't cross all those T's.
Well, you don't have to register for a trademark to have rights, so I can't necessarily look this up. But anyway, I think we could contact Taylor and get some permish. Do a little permish. Sure. She knew about us. I think we interviewed her. Did you interview her? Someone did, I thought.
We did? No.
Are you sure?
Guise?
So Guise is a registered trademark for lemonade, fruit juice, fruit juices, fruit drinks. And so I don't think she goes. I think she is potentially in trouble here.
Oh, boy.
Well, anyway, we're not going to get into it. She's not in trouble. Okay. No. But that was a fun adventure. All right, I'm continuing. You talk about something because I'm in a deep dive here.
Anything on going into the eliminations? We have
Guise. That's also on the greatest hit. I don't think we have anything recent on the just the oldies.
No. Elimination, Theo being voted in to go up against Idris.
Let's not brush over that. I know it's time to go to bed, but how are we letting Josh get away with arguing that Josh and Rogan are as weak as Idris?
I guess he feels like, I mean, I can make the argument that maybe Rogan is. Josh definitely not, but Rogan, I mean, has never done anything spectacular. At least Idris has won elimination before and is like a boxer.
I think I have to give Josh some credit because he like doesn't have allies at this point, and he's like, he's so convinced that it's almost convincing. But it was weak.
He's also big on the can't believe everyone's following a cult leader, which, you know, a little flashback for him.
Which, yeah, every time we want to, like, I want to give Josh credit, it's like he's like, you're playing Polly's game. It's like, that's all you do, Josh. You're playing Jordan's game. Like, leave me alone.
Yeah, and it is a tough, like, it's tough to, like, always be on, because then he's very hysterical, it's very emotional, it's always hard to really get behind Josh in any one of his moments.
Gumpy. Very gumpy.
Very gumpy.
Okay, yeah, so Ninja and Leroy, pick Theo. I didn't think this was a big deal. I mean, Ashley's face was very funny in the background, but, like, this was fake drama.
Yeah, no, there was not much there. Leroy apparently was going to make someone mad. I don't know if he actually made anyone mad, but yeah, he voted for Theo.
What'd you think of this challenge? I mean, like, it just like last week, we have two running with heavy things. This, we have two heavy puzzles.
Yeah, at least this was a cool twist of breaking through the wall, which I thought was fun. It was very cool that, like, it seemed like Idris was ahead, and then all of a sudden Theo, like, burst through the wall like the Kool-Aid man. That was kind of fun. But yeah, I mean, Idris did not, like, do himself any favors that he couldn't figure out which puzzle to, like, pick up, even though the entire crowd was shouting at him. So I doubt we see Idris again.
All right, we get into the basically 15 minute preview for next episode too. I'm sorry, people love this. I don't need to, like, it's almost now the reverse. This is definitely better than when it used to cut off before the challenge and we only had half episodes. But I really, to the powers that be, like, I really can't watch another 15 minute segment into the next week and then, like, care about that. Like, this just to me felt like obvious filler in this fight between Kara and Jordan and Ashley and Turbo and Polly. Like, it was just the U.S. team doesn't know what to do with themselves.
No, they don't. That's like if they had even if they lost like every 4 weeks, like, they, I mean, they've only the only like they've lost once, right? And that was when they threw it. I think every other time they've won, which is just like, I mean, of the all time like demolitions of any show that I've ever watched of any level of competition, I've never seen anything like this before.
Yeah, once they threw it and once the UK cheated, I think they should have let them get away with the cheating.
Yeah, looking back on it, yeah, just do whatever you want. Cheat, add more players, take some of the crew and try to win like that. I don't know, do something.
Well, like all good things, this fight sort of ends with a USA chant. And I don't know. Anything else to say on this episode?
Nani with an all time, like, I'm going to try to de-escalate the situation by riling Turbo up even more so he wants to go punch a wall. Like, I mean, Nani, like, yikes.
Let's look ahead. This episode had us looking ahead. We're going to look ahead till next season. There's some new cast speculations. I guess for anyone who's sort of spoiler adverse and views casting as a spoiler, let's hit the 5-star reviews. Thank you. It's always exciting to see more and more. Reviews coming in. I think I read your boy BD last week, but thank you nonetheless. Barkley Yummy and JBJ USA 24. Thank you. Who's the title of their review is I'm a Trash Person. So right on schedule. If you want to make our day and leave a 5-star review or whatever review you want, we'll still read it. We have nothing else going on. You could do so at robhitsawebsite.com/challenge iTunes.
There you go.
I had a drinking game thing and now I forgot it on the way down here.
All right, so I'll go through the ones that were hit and maybe it'll pop back in. So we had a date night TJ, at least two. I think there were maybe more two of security. Test that passed the time. Wrestling counts. The wrestling definitely counts. Confirmed coitus. I don't know if Cam Lee were a confirmed coitus. So
don't step. I think they're definitely not confirmed coitus, yeah, but so, you don't step to the sorry, chief party officer.
Yeah, I guess when in doubt, drink. But ew, that's a stretch. another reality show is named. And two animations, and one an unnecessary subtitle for the UK team.
All right. I did pop in, but what do you have?
You go first.
All right. This is very simple because you like stepped all over the way I do the drinking game 2 weeks ago and I was looking away behind my back. I'm going to just say like whenever Cam and Leroy have a couple moments. So that can either be like if you're going to Mitch watch it in the background, like at a night out, or it could be like they get their own scene. Anytime Cam and Leroy have a couple moments.
Very cute. I like it. I didn't really have anything, so I don't want to put anything that I'm not proud of on the drinking game, so I'm going to pass this week. I'm going to make that executive push decision.
Me to come up with one, but all right. Hey, this is sort of about the time where we've put like eight things on.
Yeah,
like,
we're reaching. Yeah, I think we have a good assortment. So,
all right. Most of the cast left to. Well, I guess we could talk about one or two things. Well, if you really don't want to hear anything about the cast next season, Brian Scally is coming through with our one tweet this week. He tweeted Polly cheating on Cara again. And you should go at Brian_Scally, S-C-A-L-L-Y, the co-host of the Challenge podcast on Dom and Colin with Matt Liguori. And it's a picture. It is a perfectly placed screen grab of Polly, what looks like smooching Theo in their fight. It's very good.
That was wild.
The other weird thing that happened this week on social media is Aubrey O'Day from X on the Beach and Making the Band and Danity Kane and Marriage Boot Camp, or not Marriage Boot, maybe on Marriage Boot Camp, but I'm thinking of Celebrity where she met Pauly D. I watched. It's a good show. It's like they're single.
Oh, yeah. I know.
This is what I get for trying to do Aubrey O'Day's whole roster just in my head. I think she was also on the Celebrity Apprentice, maybe. Anyway.
She was.
So she was doing a like Instagram live with Aaron Carter, and I cannot claim to understand what happened here. There's like some situation where Jemmy was like in this chat, like trolling them. There might have been a reason before that. Aubrey is like confused between some like Kayla and Jemmy, and somehow Marie got involved. So if you want to look into that, I don't recommend it, but it's just hilarious that there's like Jemmy tweeted like at trolling Aaron Carter in a tweet that was deleted. Like, I want candy was a bop. Like, it's just like it's just truly wild, like where we're at. What, who said it this week on the show that was just like, I reevaluate my life. Oh, Ashley, like, should have went to college. That was a chuckle.
There we go. See, look at all these funny moments popping up.
Yeah.
Ashley and CT were great.
Can relate to reevaluating life choices because of the challenge.
Yeah. There you go.
So the reason we don't have a lot of social media is one, Megan Elizabeth, who I can't live without, is out of commission this week due to technical difficulties. So we thought we would talk about the cast speculation that, and also because most of the cast like left this week to film the next season.
Challenge 35.
We don't usually do this, but we have nothing to talk about. Also, there's a big notable absence that sort of bleeds into social media we should talk about. So we thought we would each pick two or three noteworthy people we want to talk about from the rumored cast. If you are so spoiler adverse that you want to tune out for that, goodbye.
Peace.
But we hinted at it before. Paulie is not on this season. And what I know is that he retweeted the video of him being like bananas, tried to get me blocked from the show that we talked about a few weeks ago. And he retweeted that and was like, this didn't age well. And I guess Kara's not on it either.
Yeah, she's not. Wow.
So I don't know how much of it had to do with the crazy videos Paulie was making and how much of it actually had to do with bananas. Like, what's your take on that?
I don't think bananas, like, I don't think they're cutting people because he wants them to. I think they're pulling people out there, and then when they get a group of people, they try to fit together a season, and then maybe one or two don't make the cut. I think they have an idea in mind for a season, and it kind of goes based off that.
See, it is very surprising to me that they don't have Paulie and Kara on. Like, I feel like they bleed out people who make storylines till the very end. And to me, Paulie and Kara, I'm sick of them, right? But the MTV never cares when I'm sick of someone. Like, if they weren't on this season, there'd be nothing going on.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's true, but I don't know. I refuse to, like, believe those tinfoil hat like that, but they're trying to coax a season for, like, bananas to win or have only his friends on.
I think Paulie, like, let out some insane social media stories, and I think he might be, like, psychoval out of it. Like, I don't mean to start rumors.
I can sort of get more behind than bananas is like, I don't want him on because he's hurting my chances of winning.
So, sorry, to be clear, I don't even think that's what Paulie really meant. Like, I think, and maybe he meant that because Paul, that's what he thinks bananas is like subtweeting. But my understanding is the accusation would be like, he shouldn't be on, not that, like, he's going to beat me.
Got it.
But who knows? I also wanted to check in on Randy Newpole's draft because I haven't looked at that since we drafted. And I don't, you're second to last and I'm like right in the middle. So I'm not loving it.
Not great.
Do you even know who you have?
No idea.
The only person you have, isn't it amazing? You have Wes, Bananas, Jenny, and Faith. The only person you have left is Jenny.
Whew. That's not great.
And I have Paulie, Cam, Rogan, and Zahida. So I'm still hanging in. But some people have really good teams. Okay, who cares? I care, but, you know, thank you, Randy. So I don't know anything, and I will keep a lookout. I did some Googling. I haven't seen any articles about it yet. We will follow this story, but I think it's strange that Paulie's not on unless it's like some sort of medical situation. And I think I would bet that Kara just refused to go if Paulie wasn't going.
That sounds about right.
That's pure guess.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. So do you want to pick, you want to go like, one man, one woman. Are you going to do three? Sure. A wild card?
Yeah, one man and woman and wild card. Sure, okay. That sounds good. So I was happy to see this. The fact that we have the first Survivor player on the challenge, I think is very exciting for the future of the brand. Having Jay on this season is, I'm very excited about. Just not only him, but what it now may open the door for in the future.
So here's what I'm worried about with Jay. I'm stunned. You didn't watch him on X on the Beach. I'm stunned he's on this season. I love Jay and Survivor, and I think I've said this on the podcast. He was very whatever on, like, it's very clear the casting for Survivor does not automatically equal casting for the challenge in the same way Big Brother can. Like, what makes a good Survivor player is very different than what makes a good Big Brother and challenge player. I've been wrong before about people on Big Brother coming to the challenge, so maybe he will shine. But he was very one note on X on the Beach. And I'm
interesting.
And Morgan, you know, I guess we're jumping to the women. Morgan, his ex, who's dating Bananas, is not on this season, right? Or
She's not listed on the tentative cast list. So.
Which doesn't make any real sense to me. Like, the draw to having Jay would be that Bananas, I mean, there's probably enough beef between Bananas and Jay anyway, but I would like to see Morgan if it's going to be the three of them.
Right. Yeah. I mean, unless this, maybe there's people popping up later, like sometimes they do. So.
All right. I think that's a good pick, though. I'm going to talk about Well, generally, from just looking at the cast, and I'm actually gonna pick Tori Hall. Now, I think the spoiler, whoever's spoiling this, said that like some people might be on location for as an alternate. This is Tori. This is Brad's ex-wife. What I really like about this season, she's from the Road Rules. I like that in the recent history of having all of these new players come in, they haven't let go of some of the older players. This season seems like more of a mix to me. Tori's was on Joe versus Bros or whatever, I think, and I didn't watch that. So I'm excited to see her back for the first time since the divorce in a while. It's time for her to have Brad had his fun. I'm excited to see Tori. I hope she is actually on the season.
Yeah, that's a fun. We'll always have a good blast from the past. That's always fun to see. So good to have Tori.
Your pick.
My pick. Maddie. I think, you know, she was very exciting in her rookie season, made a final, gassed out. Hopefully she learned from that. And I think she's someone to watch for next season that could potentially, based on obviously the format, could potentially win.
I love Maddie, so yeah, I was happy to see that too. I'm just very confused. I'm like looking at this list and Ben, like a lot of people to me, like Nelson, right? Nelson's back. Where's Angela then, his girlfriend who creates a lot of drama? Like, why are people not back with who I think that their natural like drama foils would be? But let's talk about Swaggy C, because that sort of brings in the new era of Big Brother players. Mm-hmm. So I guess I'll group this together as my wild card and my man. Yeah. Swaggy C, Fessy, Bailey, and Casey are all on from Big Brother. Bailey and Swaggy C are coming for, I guess, Kara's wig also as power couple. Again, Fessy's not on with Haley, who is in his showmance, and then they dated after. Like, Fessy was really one note on Big Brother to me. Maybe the challenge will be his forte. My guess is that he will be more of a victor and we'll never see him again. I think Bailey and Swaggy C could be good drama. And Casey could be a nice female comp beast, but also probably pretty boring, like maybe more like a ninja of just like good athleticism, but like not so fun to watch.
Right. Yeah. I think, you know, in this age of the CBS people jumping on, it's not surprising to see any of them there. And it's just going to be who sticks, you know. It's not always clear as who, like Josh, who thought he would do well. So be interesting to see how they do.
I am hoping that Casey like turns into a staple here. Like maybe she could really shine. Like it would be nice to see like Nicole really has, like, in terms of like, for people who don't know who Casey is, like Casey is a member of the LGBT community, and like, we don't really see Nicole anymore. We don't see a lot of like Laurel, I guess, wasn't really on the season. So it's just like a nice change of pace for MTV casting, and she could be a compy. So I just hope she doesn't go the way of like Snooze Fest.
Yep. That'll be interesting. My last one, my wild card, just cause this is the one person, at least for me, that I don't know who she is. Kayla Fitzgerald from The Amazing Race. No idea who she is. And it's just weird that she's kind of here alone. The fact that, like, how you've been saying, like, where's everyone's partner? Like, there's no one else from The Amazing Race. I don't know what her connection is to anyone else, other than just being from a CBS show. But unless she's coming in with some type of connection to someone else, be interesting to see how she fares knowing no one.
Here's her connection. She is gorgeous. Like,
okay, there you go. Holy,
I mean, I haven't watched the Amazing Race, so, you know, whatever. But also a good pick. Definitely a wild card. I'm not seeing. All right, so that's the closest we're going to get to coverage of next season. Hope you enjoy.
Till starts probably what? Being next year? Probably around there. So there you go.
That's it. What do you want?
That's it.
All I have. Megan Elizabeth needs to come back next week.
Yes. God bless. Sending best wishes to her computer. you can subscribe. robiswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. Follow me on Twitter @ColinBryan_. And they can follow you
at Last Tweets.
That'll be it for this week. Next week, episode 10. Until then, have a good one.